a Football Friday here on RBKD. Today on the show, the Pokes come into town. They've been pretty good in Austin. What does Texas have to do to get the W? We'll give you keys to the win, give our thoughts on the game, final thoughts as we get ready for the 11 a.m. kickoff tomorrow. Cowboys are rolling. We're going to hit all the NFL games that mean something. There's actually more that means something than in the college ranks. We'll hit all of it, though, including giving our picks. And is Ole Miss our new ally in the SEC? We'll get into all that in Off the Record. He went from DB High to DBU somehow. Ended up in Detroit. As I've mentioned, spent most of that time in Windsor. Yeah, he's a smart man. He's also in more private clubs than a swinger. He's as open-minded as anyone, yet discriminates against white condiments. He's a football theorist. He's an All-American. He is the one and only Rod Babers.
And my co-host, he's a lifetime Longhorn, but first, he's a lifetime Austinite, a conservative liberal like my man Bun B, who doesn't discriminate, which is why his dating history looks a lot like a commercial for the Rainbow Coalition. My man was a reality TV star before it even was a thing. And yes, he's only got one ball, but more testicular fortitude than you and your whole team. He is my co-host, the estimable Kevin Dunn. What's going on, brother?
I'm doing great. I already have an issue with our Supreme Lending picks. Focused. I had a lot more time to focus last night. So all last night was watching baseball and getting picks.
You want to change them? We did them yesterday. We can change them.
So
we still got time. And there's somebody else who is now overseeing, I guess, and organizing these Supreme Lending picks.
So we
and
take she's allowing of her. Us.
Yeah, no. She said you can have the whole day. The other person who was doing it said you had to have them by noon, and then that was it. Like that was the cutoff. Now she says, hey, close. You can have them in by the end of the
Beautiful.
Day. It's all good. So if you feel.
How come Angie hadn't been running this
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, like you want to waffle a little bit? You got some time.
I'm waffling.
All right, let's do it. What's the first pick we waffling on?
I'm waffling on.
Oh, let me guess. Let me see if I know.
Yeah,
you really
let's see if you can guess.
They're definitely the NFL picks because the college picks are too easy.
It's actually college. You would think it's NFL because
okay,
NFL ones are the ones that we were waffling on.
The NFL picks are tough. The college picks are easy. Okay, what is this? BYU.
I'm taking BYU the points Baylor. With BYU. I'm taking the points with BYU, and I think they're going to win this outright.
Okay, okay. Now you said they're going to win it outright.
Yes.
Okay. You did some beat the pluck research, I guess, then.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so then give it to me. Why is BYU all of a sudden going to win it?
They're older. No, that's not it. That's not it. Well, that is true, but that's not the reason.
Is it God's favor? Is it God's favor? Because I got to tell you, both sides are pleading that.
Yeah, right.
both sides are pleading that.
Notre Dame's playing BYU in Las Vegas in a couple of years.
Oh, in Sin City? What the hell?
I mean, could you pick a weirder place for those two schools to go play?
Well, you know what? You're supposed to take you take the word of God
and actually take that back.
Yeah, you
because the Catholics will go party.
That's true too. But you're supposed to go.
Mormons are going to live by their
maybe they're trying to
word.
Just trying to bring the Holy Spirit to Sin City. Yeah, bring the word of God there.
Good luck with that.
Good
that thing's
going to
get fizzled out. Fizzled out.
No doubt.
Like a small little paper bag fire with a huge hose.
There are a lot of chapels there. For little quick marriages. There are.
Yeah.
A lot of chapels.
But why are there chapels? Or people aren't going in there to pray
for little quick
to get married for a quickie.
I don't know why. Why would you want a quickie marriage?
And of all the quickies, that's not the one to get.
No, that's not the fun one.
That's not the fun one. Or the smart one.
The smart, yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's a good point. I agree with you on that.
So, honestly, it has to do with turnovers.
Let's do it then. Let's take. I'm with you. If you want to take BYU and you feel that good about it, let's go. Because if one of us feels strongly one way or the other, I think both of us respects the other enough to go, well, okay. Every now and then, I'm sure we'll get into a heated debate about it. But no, you've been hot in college picks. I am not going to argue with you about a college pick.
Okay.
Not this season.
Take Alabama.
You've been
you
money.
Know what? I'm also looking at stuff. It's so easy if you got burned the week before.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing that you have to fight with yourself is to try and make that overcorrection, right?
Oh yeah.
So it'd be I was wrong about Alabama A&M, right?
Coaches have to battle against that.
Guess what? I'm picking against A&M in the spread. I'm picking Alabama with the spread.
I can see that.
Even though that exact thing burned me last week.
Yeah, you can't really let. It's like carrying baggage into a new relationship.
Exactly
you can't do
like.
That. You got to go into it fresh slate with an open heart. You know what I mean? And
yep.
open heart and open eyes,
yep.
actually, in your evaluation.
Open
things.
Mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're damn right.
I'm going to put on my old man glasses. That's exactly what
open
I'm thinking.
Open heart, open eyes, and open mind.
Yeah.
Damn right.
You know, I understand why people fake wearing glasses. Because you put them on, you feel a little bit smarter. You're not, but you do. What am I trying to read right now?
You feel smarter? Well, you know what? That's all that matters. A lot of the time. The way you feel.
It's how you feel.
If you feel smarter, then...
You feel good looking.
I think, therefore, I am.
You go to the club, and every chick looks at you and is like, eh. Yeah, you still feel good looking.
Still feel good looking.
No, it's about turnovers. So BYU was 5-0. They had four turnovers. I don't think they're going to turn the ball over. And I do think that that line's just gotten a little bit too big. Okay. They're struggling. BYU struggling defensively on third downs. Baylor and that D gets off the field, and they've got a really efficient pass defense. But I'm going to roll with this.
No, if you feel strongly about it.
Jaren Hall, he's back, baby. He was back last week. BYU.
Okay. You feel strongly about it, I back you. All right, you've been hot this year. And even if it's wrong, I'll still back you because...
Oh, I appreciate that.
The larger sample size has proven over time that
yes.
You've been more right than wrong.
Thank you very
so
much.
I'll back you, buddy.
I'm also feeling good about the Texas. That line's really gone down. So the Texas line started at 5.5. It's now at 4. And that is telling us that public money is coming in on Oklahoma State. I can see that. I mean, we've given you a lot of the numbers and figures, and we'll probably do it again today, that Oklahoma State has obviously had Texas' number for the most part, and certainly in Austin. And Mike Gundy, more importantly, has had the number of the Texas coaching staff, just like Gary Patterson had. And Sark was able to get through that. Let's see if he can get through this. But I feel good about that. I just – anytime you're in current-day college football and you are really trying to slow it down that much – I have a tough time, and it was not like that back in the day. Back in the day, you could take a team that maybe wasn't that explosive offensively because they could find ways to win, right? The game was paced that way, Rod. Mm-hmm. We talk about theory a lot. I mean, the football theory that we were thinking about when I was a kid or football people were was so much more simplistic, right? I mean, it really was, man. I mean, I can give you – and I may do it in one and done a little bit, but just kind of – I mean, it was – you had 4-3 cover man. Do you press? Do you mug? You had 3-4 soft zones, which got real big like in the late 80s. And if you had a Bob Davie and a Wrecking Crew and guys like that, which was aggressive 3-4, you could get after people. But things have turned so much now where it's so offensive. If you've got a team like Oklahoma State, it's just hard for me to pick them knowing they can't keep up if it gets into that type of game. They could still lose by 7 or 10 if it isn't that type of a game.
Yeah. I mean, I think this game ultimately could come down to, you know, the weakest phases for both of these teams, which is the Oklahoma State offense versus the Texas defense.
Bingo.
And, you know, and which one of them can have, you know, a good day, a day that is uncharacteristic of what they put on paper or at least they put out on film so far this season. I mean, you can start looking at Oklahoma State's early down rush rate. All right, that's first and second down. I mean, it's 69 to 70% of the time they want to run the ball on early downs. That's what they want to do. They don't want to throw it. Now they could decide
in
this game to break tendency. I doubt that's the case. They don't want to do that because they're going to put Spencer Sanders in a compromising situation. They want to make life easy on him, and life being easy on him means third and short, third and medium. And you know, right now for the Oklahoma State offense, I was just looking at, you know, some of the numbers. I mean, they are staggeringly mediocre offensively.
They're in the 80s of a lot of stuff or worse.
Staggeringly mediocre offensively. Like and I think that's also the way they want it. How about this? You look at like explosive run rate. So you're talking about early down, right? They're averaging 4 yards per carry on first down, 2.8 yards per carry on second down. That usually gets them to 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4. That's exactly where they want to be. So keep your eye on that. If they are 3rd and 5 and more, Texas defense is doing a pretty good job. That's what you want them.
They're gonna win.
You want them 3rd and 5 or 3rd and 6. Exactly. That's where Texas could be in a advantageous position. If they got 3rd and 2s and 3rd and 1s and 3rd and 3s, it could end up being a long day for Texas on the other side. But Oklahoma State, how about this? They're second in the Big 12 in rushing attempts per game, right behind Texas.
Yeah.
So Sark wants to run the ball a lot, and they would run the ball a lot. The difference
Dave
is.
Dave asked me. He goes, because he's trying to set up post game in the clocks. He said, so is this going to be quick? And I said, it should be, Dave.
It should be.
It should be.
Remember, Sark is trying to get more plays. He's trying to get rushing attempts in, but also get a lot of passing attempts in.
He's trying to get 75, and Gundy wants 50.
And Gundy's trying to get less plays in. So they're right behind Texas in rushing attempts per game, but they're seventh in rushing yards per game in the Big 12. So they don't – and it's not even really about, you know, them getting explosive gains. They have the third lowest explosive run rate in the Power 5. So they really don't really plan on trying to get chunk yards. It's not what they want. They just want to keep drives together and limit your possessions.
What have I laughed about with
ball
Warren?
Control.
Week in and week out, we come in and we try and do a good job of hitting the other Big 12 mm-hmm. teams because we know we're going to get to them, right? And I've compared it to a couple times, you know, Jamal Lewis and the Ravens in that really bad era of the NFL. I mean, it's all
yes.
relative.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
You know, the early 2000s?
32 carries, 110 yards. And like, yeah. God, who watched that?
No, you're right about that. I remember
Jesus,
that.
Jesus, talk about a cloud
and
of
it's
dust.
It's crazy because.
Not much.
Well, no, because it's strange because that's why I love the NFL because at the same time, you got the greatest show on turf.
You
that's
did.
Happening.
You
know
did.
What I mean? Like, that's the NFL.
You didn't have enough of that like you do
either
now.
Side, and then that's why they were outliers, right? Because they were one of the only teams doing it. But you're right. You get those contrasting styles. So I love the NFL. And either side can end up being dominant.
Yeah.
You get that now with Georgia, right? Georgia's defense is all-time great defense happening right now. And yet the last, three years has been all-time great offenses on the national title. And we thought, oh, there's no going back.
No.
There's never going to be a defense that's going to be able to match up with these offenses. It's done. It's over.
We're done.
And now, what? We got maybe the and I can give you some numbers later on, maybe the greatest defense in the last 10-15 years. We're looking at what Georgia's doing.
Oh, I've been all
and
over it. Yeah.
We don't know. It could be better than that. We just don't know.
I mean, I tried not to come in, especially after 3 weeks, and say, hey, this is, you know, some declaration of prisoner of the moment stuff all time, but just my eyes were telling me. And then you start looking at the stats, and you're like, this is one of the best defenses we've seen. It's one of the best college defenses I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Ever seen.
No, it's crazy, man. It really is.
So how about this yards rushing? Texas is at 246 per game. Oklahoma State's at 159, which gets back to your point.
Yeah,
so
they don't even care about that.
So the actual numbers in terms of carries are all right there. I mean, it's pretty much the same thing with Texas and Oklahoma State. They both want to run the football a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But one is really running it and busting some big plays, and the other is third and two, move the chains.
That's exactly right.
That's it.
Yeah, and it's amazing how, you know, with Gundy, and it's new offense. We know he's an offensive expert. That's what he does really well. But he's decided, and it's great, a kind of humility by him to say to himself, well, you know what? We're not going to win with offense. It's not offense. I'm not going to – if I push Spencer Sanders to be – because Spencer Sanders has regressed to his – he has some of his career lows in completion percentage and passer rating. I mean, he is just
– he's gotten worse.
He's gotten worse every year he's been
there.
The
best Spencer Sanders ever that I've seen, and I've tried and watch a lot of it, was here for one half.
2019.
Here for one half,
yeah, 2019.
Right? It was like that one half, and I thought – oh, man, I remember coming in saying, guys, if this guy gets better,
exactly right.
which he probably will, and clean stuff up, watch out.
Mm-hmm. No, and he never
didn't
cleaned.
Do either. He didn't get better, and he didn't clean stuff up.
And a little bit of that is on, you know, that's on Gundy, and Gundy hadn't found a better option, but give him credit. He figures this is our best option at quarterback, but we'll win in other ways. But that formula is all about mitigating the risk. And the bust potential of Spencer Sanders and trying to maximize, you know, his upside, which he's got a lot of upside.
Tons of upside.
But he's got just as much downside. I mean, he is just as high risk as he is high reward. There's no question about it.
People will laugh at this, but just very basic things you're looking for with a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to me, you know anticipation and accuracy are number one for me and for guys like Mike Leach, right?
Yep.
But his speed, athleticism, and arm – I mean, he's got that right there, if it was 100 times better and polished, would be third-team All-American talent.
And that's why Gundy still kind of falls in love with him. It's hard not
to. It's still there.
Because you may see that potential one out of every five, six plays. But, man.
It's like my last three girlfriends. No, there's still enough there.
There's still enough there.
There's good enough days.
It's good enough sex. The sex is still good.
Good
it's
enough
like
days.
We argue all the time. We can't figure out what to eat together.
No one can do that.
Well, you figure it out. Actually, that's partly how you know you kind of are going to be a good partner, a good partnership. Yeah, because you have your...
What about Torchies? Mom, I don't want Torchies. All right, you pick. Well, no, I don't want to pick.
Remember Chris Rock always said, listen, 80% of relationships is sex, watching TV and movies together, and eating together. And if you don't like doing two of those three things together, you don't need to be together. And you know what?
What if I like doing all three at the same time?
George Costanza style?
I can find someone for that.
You could. Just today.
There's probably a dating app. What's that acronym?
I'm sure there's a dating app for that. You know there is, damn it. Yeah.
Hey, over-under here. The over-under was so easy last game. What would you think? Because I think the over-under that I'm looking at is 60.
60. I'd take the... That's tough.
That's tough.
It is tough because Texas has the top five offense in the country. I mean, you're talking about the second most efficient offense in the Power Five.
Yeah.
Statistically, yeah. I mean, I know people.
My eyes would tell me they're not, but.
I get it. Trust me. I mean, the offensive line.
Do you agree
alone,
with that?
No, I'm with you on that. I think they have a lot of holes. Right, there are a lot of different ways
they're working around stuff.
You can attack, and I think Sark's done a good job of scheming around that stuff. But you know, you start looking at that offense of Texas. They've been held under 31 with once, and Oklahoma State has scored at least 31 once.
Once,
so something's got to give there.
And Oklahoma State hasn't given up more than 23. So once again, getting back, something's going to give.
Yeah, and I've been watching enough Oklahoma State film where. There are ways you can attack it, and Texas is going to present so many different kind of options and ways to threaten the Oklahoma State defense, whether it be Bijan. They just got too many things to worry about. They haven't had an offense they have to face like this where they have to account for Bijan, also X-Man, and I got to account for Joshua Moore. They haven't had an offense that they've had to face like that. I think that will stress them to the point where I think Texas will at least be able to get 30. On this team, 31 on this team. And I don't know if Oklahoma State can match it. That's the thing. That's the scary thing. I don't know if they can match it. I think Texas can get to 30-something, and I don't think they can match it. That's why I think Texas is going to ultimately win the game. But turnovers, a lot of things can really flip that narrative. A lot of factors can do that.
No Jordan Whittington. You've got Tope Amade, who'll be starting at right guard. Mm-hmm. And you've got Junior Angelau shifting to left guard. Get Kerstetter back to right tackle. We'll see how all that plays out. Whittington's more the one I'm focused on, although they run outside zone so much. So let's see. You know, Tope Amade is, what, a fifth or sixth year senior?
That's going to be big. I mean, he's big. So no pun intended.
He is big.
He's 6'6", 360, and usually those
361. Don't forget about that biscuit.
Oh, sorry, that little extra there.
Don't forget about it. It was a couple biscuits.
It depends on if he wakes up that morning, how much water he drinks.
No, that, if you're 361, you take a deuce. That could get you down to like 357, right?
For a big boy like that, 358, easy. I think it's going to be a challenge to get a big man like that moving, blocking the outside zone. So we'll see. We'll see how it works out for him. I always say this, and it's just how I feel about Sark and PK so far, because I think Sark has done a great job kind of scheming around some of the weaknesses on offense. But something Sark has not really showed me yet, and I want to see it in this game, is the ability to adjust when you're in a chess match, and, you know, matching wits with a really good coach or coordinator. He hadn't really shown the ability to adjust. Now, like I said, the opening script of Oklahoma put it in the Hall of Honor. Damn it, it was really, really impressive. I mean, it was great. But
we'll take it out when we find emails. But
no, come on, not about
just
Sark.
Having fun,
come
man.
On. It was great. But then once Alex Grinch made his adjustments, we didn't see the counter from Sark. We didn't see it, and you got Bijan Robinson, so you're supposed to be able to counter with the best running back in the country. Arguably.
Maybe with the counter.
Maybe
which is what
counter
got
with
you.
The counter, ironically.
Which is what got you in the second half. Talk about ripping stuff off. You don't need an R&D department to do
steal
that.
Steal that play. Seriously. Steal that play. Go back to the Washington racial slurs of the of the Gibbs years and steal that play. But no, and then you look at Arkansas. Well, put it like this. Arkansas game, nothing worked, and you didn't have an adjustment. And what do I always say coaches need to be doing? Once you've installed the game plan, once everybody's comfortable, you practice all the reps,
you
got the 15 scripts, right, your opening script ready to go, give the opposing coach credit and assume that they can stop your opening game plan. They can stop your initial game plan, that they actually have a better game plan than you initially, right? Whatever you're going to do initially, that they stop it. What do you do? offensively and defensively. What if, PK, what happens if the defense that we had dialed up for him to start the game, what if it didn't work? What if they gassed you?
And that shouldn't be hard to imagine if I was PK.
Right. Well, if the first two series of the game gash you right down the field and they score touchdowns, what do you do? What do you do? Well, how do they do it, Coach? Well, they did it running. All right, this is what we got to do. Well, they did. They got a couple of deep balls on us. All right, you know what? They got a couple of deep balls on us. Okay, this is what we're going to handle that. Oh, it was a quarterback run game. They gassed us. Quarterback run game, Coach. We didn't expect. Okay, we got a plan for that.
Mm-hmm.
Have a contingency plan ready to go in case the opposing coach has a really good day. Because it happens. Sometimes they have a really good day. Look at Sark's opening script to Oklahoma.
That was a perfect day.
Sark's a great play caller. I'm not saying he's not going to dial up really good plays. He was almost perfect play calling blow by blow, and that was his opening script. But he got
the number two, really number two, on the third possession at 14-0.
Yeah, exactly. First play
number one, bust for a touchdown. You block a punt, change everything. Okay, yeah. Now we're just trying to get in.
Yeah, they scored.
You called the play to Wiley, which Thompson missed, and then Bijan.
28 points on the first 15 plays on that opening script. So that's what I want to see from Sark in this game, because I think Gundy is good enough at matching wits with other coaches that he's going to force you to adjust. He's going to force you to beat him another way. And I would like to see that from Sark. I'd like to see it from PK. We haven't seen that yet. We've seen good game plans. We've seen a better coach team, a more disciplined team, and I think you've just seen a more attractive, a more titillating offense, period, because it features your best players. But I want to see the adjustments. We haven't seen that yet.
I'm with you. Either side.
Yeah, because you didn't need to adjust versus Tech. You need to adjust versus Rice. Louisiana, it all worked out, right? Your game plan was better than his. You didn't need to adjust. But when you go up against great coaches, they will force you to adjust. And even Gary Patterson, I will say that. They did adjust versus Gary Patterson. The adjustment was, give it to Bijan. I just give it to Bijan. It was, 36 carries?
Yeah.
35?
I mean,
that was the adjustment.
That was a slight adjustment. I would really say they were forced into adjustments twice this year, and they're 0-2 during that.
I'm going to give them credit for, on the road, Gary Patterson, where
you're
Texas struggled.
You're always giving credit.
I'm going to give them credit for that.
Credit's not due. No,
right?
I see what you're saying.
That's a good coach, man. I know people. I know we're down on Gary Patterson now, but that's a good coach. And I saw Sark make adjustments and match wits with him a little bit, so I'll give him credit for that. But we need to see more of that. And Mike Gundy, he's the most tenured coach in the Big 12. He's
the old man.
He's the old man.
Snyder's gone.
He's
Stoops
seen it all.
Is gone. Mack is gone.
He used to be 40. He used to be that guy, the youngster, yelling and screaming. Now he's the old man. So you better be ready.
You better be ready. Tyler Lacey's a guy to definitely watch out for. Rod talked about it. The two linebackers are really damn good. Yeah. Malcolm Rodriguez and then also Devin Harper. Rodriguez will be up for Butkus-type stuff this year. Probably won't win it, but right now he'd probably be your defensive player of the year the Big 12. Really go with two linebackers. You'll see three safeties. You'll see a slot corner. You'll see a rover, bandit, Boogaloo, whatever they're calling. I would really make some fun up with that name because that name's been changed so much by different programs that I would literally call it a Boogaloo. They're like, what is that? That's just kind of
the electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, right. It's electric Boogaloo. It's Ernest Givens' kid, okay? But yeah, their defensive line's really good. How does this Texas offensive line match up? Last week at this time, I told you that I'm taking Oklahoma, and I'm taking them because I went through all the units and primarily, the Texas offensive line against that Oklahoma defensive line worried me. I also was worried about the Oklahoma offensive line and the Texas defensive line. I felt like an idiot for 30 minutes on the clock. And then the second half is rolling, and it's like, this is kind of what we expected to see. If they can scheme around that defensive line, and I know you guys are sick of Rod and I using that language, and we've been using it for months now, but there's a reason, because if you're going to get stuff done and continue to be a top 5, top 10 offense with analytics and stats, you're going to have to continue to scheme around your holes, which is why I think Sark's done a really good job with his offense. I'd like to see more of that from PK in the defense. I don't feel like he has been able to assimilate or to understand his talent and be able to work around the issues. Maybe there's just more issues. Sark's been able to do that for the most part outside of, and Rod's right, there are two times where, or maybe three, but two glaring times where it's like, you got to adjust now, and the adjustments haven't been there.
Just wasn't there. Yeah, either he had no adjustments or the ones that he made were so minuscule and slight, they didn't really matter.
Here's a guy who can help you out. Maybe adjusting stuff, too, like refinancing. That's Sam Dude with Barton Creek Lending Group. Name to remember if you're looking to refi your home or buy a new one. Scotty Bennett and Rita Ballou recently got refied with him and they just kept on talking about how great this guy was. I was like, yeah, I told y'all, man. That's why I'm hanging out with Sam, and that's why we're trying to get y'all to get in touch with him. So if you're refinancing your home and you're above 4%, definitely reach out. Rates are creeping back up. If you're in the threes, it's not going to hurt to reach out. He can still maybe help you out. Website's easy to remember, homeloandude.com. Homeloandude.com. If you want to tap into the equity of your home and make up the difference, if maybe insurance is not covering cost on things, he can help you do that. So all you got to do is get in touch with them. You can refi your home, lower your payment, and put some cash in your pocket. It's Sam Dude at Barton Creek Lending Group. Sam Dude, Barton Creek Lending Group. The Dude Abides, homeloandude.com. These shows always fly by. I feel like it's already 6 o'clock here. We got time, though.
I agree.
We got to get everything in there. We'll get to the pros coming up next. Cowboys, Pats. The Cowboys should win this, and I mentioned it yesterday, and I actually heard a national guy on with Trey and Chad, and was saying, yeah, he's like, there's something about that game that bothers me. I think the ghost of Bill Belichick is still in of our minds, and understandably
it's respect.
So. It's respect.
You
it's
just
exactly
feel,
what
you
it is.
You feel bad picking the Cowboys to cover a number on the road in Foxborough versus a Belichick coach team. It sounds ludicrous.
It does. It's an
it
old heavyweight.
Crazy.
You remember Evander Holyfield, like, when, because he kept on coming back and would still look good?
Yeah.
And the last time you thought, maybe we can make this a fight. It's like, oh, no, man.
Not the same Evander.
It's not the same Evander.
It's not the same Evander.
We'll see if it's not the same Pats. Arizona, Cleveland should be fantastic. Chargers, Ravens as well. NFL previews coming up next. This is RBKD on the Horn.
Oh, play me some mountain music like Grandma.
Welcome back to RBKD. It is a Country Music Friday edition of RBKD. If you want to watch RBKD, you can do so. Go to hornfm.com. You should be able to tap into the Twitch stream there. You can always follow us via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. Kevin Dunn at Kevin Dunn 01. And my man John Reichel back there twisting and tweaking the dials. DJing a Country Music Friday is at JS Reichel in the Twitterverse. All right, we got to get into a lot of NFL action here. I'm going to start with the Cowboys. You know what? Before we get to the Cowboys, last night did have NFL action. Tampa Bay beating Philadelphia 28-22.
Bad beat.
Scores would make it seem like it was closer than it was.
Bad beat. Really bad beat. That two-point conversion? No, Rod, that two-point conversion changed the line.
Yeah, I know a lot of people out there in the betting world. What was it, six?
What
was it? What was the line?
The line would have been, I think, seven and a half,
six
maybe.
And a half,
yeah.
Like that? Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Why did you go for two there unless you had something on the line?
I have no idea.
There wasn't enough time to be able to kick two field goals, so don't give me – get that to – what are you doing?
I have no idea. That is very – I couldn't – I have no kind of
that
rational –
That smells.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really have a reason why that made sense.
The binder told me to. Yeah, what binder? Your bookies?
I guess they can blame it on analytics. They blame everything else on analytics.
Yeah, that's a good way. If I was cheating like that, and I'm not saying they were, because I mean, that's a heavy accusation, but I also can't give you an explanation for it.
I really can't give you one either. Doesn't make a lot of sense. But
okay.
Bucks win 28-22. You're right. I mean, I've heard people talking about that. Weird thing about the Eagles, man, they are just a mess too. Jalen Hurts accounted for 40%. He is so far in this season. He's accounted for 40% of the Eagles' rush attempts.
He's been much better than I thought. I still don't think he's a starting quarterback, and I said that his sophomore year at Alabama. But
he'd be a lot better if they weren't putting so much on his plate. He shouldn't be accounting for 40% of rushes. By the way, that would be the highest rush rate for any quarterback in a season in NFL history for their team, if that continues. So they're putting way too much on his plate, but I agree with you. I don't think he's been bad at all.
No, he's been better than I thought.
He's actually been a lot better than I got some fantasy football friends who have been like, oh, man, Jalen Hurts has actually been pretty good. Been better than I thought. It's like, they're terrible.
It's
Eagles are terrible, but doesn't matter. Exactly. They don't care about the fact
that's
the
weird thing about fantasy.
They're like
that.
Oh, no, I don't care about the Eagles, but he's actually been better than expected.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Eagles.
Yeah, they're talking about Jalen Hurts, like, and you're in football mind. They're like, dude, this Jalen Hurts. And you look at him and you go, you think He's the starting quarterback for them long term?
No, he's just helping me out this year.
No, he's helping me out this year. I needed some points.
He scrambles for 11 whenever they're down 20.
He helped me win a fantasy football week. So I'm actually all in the Jalen Hurts
corner. I'm all in.
The Eagles, they're all out. I don't think. But the Cardinals are definitely going all in. They traded. The Arizona Cardinals were the last undefeated team left in the NFL. Traded for tight end Zach Ertz from the Philadelphia Eagles in exchange for cornerback Tay Gowan and a 2022 fifth round pick. So I've said numerous times it's the best wide receiving core in the NFL. I've said that
now they
for
just
a
got
while,
better,
and they just got better. They're impossible to defend all their threats. You can't. DeAndre Hopkins, AJ Green, Rondale Moore, Christian Kirk, now Zach Ertz. You can't defend all of those weapons. There is no damn way you can. You don't have enough good high-level DBs to do it. There is a mismatch, and all they got to do is line them guys up and find, all right, which one of these guys can't cover? That guy. Go at him.
And you can still have a run game with no back in the backfield.
With Kyler Murray, you can.
With Kyler Murray, you can.
You can go empty.
So you can still keep that threat and that balance there by being empty.
And they still stick to their air raid roots. I mean, they play more 10 personnel, one back, zero tight ends than any other team in the league. So they like to spread them out, probably more shotgun than most teams in the league. Still a lot of their air raid roots, but now they're just loading up on talent. And you can't match up with them.
No.
Who the hell can match up with them? You got to hope they have a bad day, or you just have to affect the quarterback to the point where Kyler has a bad day and then neutralizes all the weapons. But getting back to your point, Kyler can extend plays, and then Kyler can decide to improvise and do things that other teams just cannot do. So it is, so the Cardinals, once again, scary. I've been on the Cardinals bandwagon for a while, but I like what they're doing. When you see an opportunity that this may be a shot for you to go to the big dance, to go to the Super Bowl, take it. You got
and they
shot.
Are.
And they take it. Go all in. Why not? You've been waiting on it because ask the Kansas City Chiefs. It's fleeting. Right? One year you'd be like, you know what? We're gonna go undefeated next season. We're gonna win not one, not two, not three. No, they were playing on LeBron James two off seasons ago. And now they're like, This is hard. It's hard. All right,
quickly on that game. Chandler Jones is out.
Yeah, so it's COVID list, right? He's got COVID, and
it's the flu.
Is it really?
No, it's COVID.
I thought I already was on the COVID list. he's on the COVID list, but he is vaccinated. So here's the thing: he's vaccinated, which the rules change for you if you're vaccinated and going in COVID protocol. So he won't play, but there's an outside chance he could, but he won't.
Okay,
he won't. He won't. Because he went on it too late. He just got on the COVID list. So I think it's like a 2-day thing.
The Cowboys are dealing with Zach Martin.
Yeah, exact same thing.
Tampa Bay.
Same thing. And he's on the road too for the Cardinals.
And the rules there are it's when you get on the plane.
It changes, exactly. So I don't think he'll play at all. But that is big though. I mean, he's one of the top three best defensive players. Easy.
Hell. I mean,
he
made a Pro Bowl in 1 week.
He did have a great week that week. I remember that. All right, let's get to some of the other big games of the week. And there are some really big games. Let's start. We're talking about Arizona. Might as well start there. Cleveland hosting Arizona. What are your thoughts about this game? I think it's interesting that actually the Texas high school football connection, these are the high school quarterbacks. These are former Texas high school quarterbacks involved in this game. Cliff Kingsbury is the head coach. Baker Mayfield starting quarterback for the Browns. Yeah. Kyler Murray starting quarterback for the Cardinals. Case Keenum and Colt McCoy. You got five former Texas high school quarterbacks who will be on a roster or coaching in this game. Right? Isn't that crazy? That's pretty cool though. That's a cool little moment.
That's a good little nugget there because I had put some of those in my head. I hadn't put Case Keenum.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. How about this, though? Talking about Cleveland, I pointed this stat out last week, or at least I should say about last week's games. It was like this week. They're the first team in NFL history to lose a game while scoring at least 40 points and having zero turnovers. Teams previously were 442-0, now 442-1. They were the first such loss. So they've been allowing a lot of points, and Arizona, of course, can score. That would be my big concern. And injuries. You pointed this out yesterday. The injuries, man.
Nick Chubb's out.
He's done. He's out.
Kareem
He's out.
Hunt's questionable.
Okay.
And so they're down to Demetric Felton. You know where he went to school?
Oh, man, I should. Who?
I think West Coast, UCLA.
Okay. Because I can see the name on the back of the jersey, too.
And I thought he looked like the best receiver, running back receiver, when I was watching Combine stuff about a year ago. You've got Willis, the left tackle, Treader, the center, and Conklin, the right tackle, all questionable. All four defensive linemen, Clowney, McDowell, Jackson, Garrett, questionable. Denzel Ward, questionable. Greg Newsom, the second, questionable. Greg Newsom, the third. If there is one, out. No. Greg Newsom the second is questionable.
Baby mama, out.
Baby mama, out. Good thing she's not in Houston. Definitely would be out.
Out.
There's just too many questions there. Because remember, I was talking about, we were going back and forth, maybe taking Cleveland in this game. Cleveland could very easily be 5-0. It's on them. They blew leads, that should worry you, which is why they're sitting at 3-2. Mm-hmm. But in Arizona's 5-0. They've obviously done everything they needed to do even last week where the offense wasn't really explosive against the Niners. But that's too many questions for me. Literally too many questionables.
Yeah, and to your point about them blowing leads, here's a little stat before we move on to another game. Baker Mayfield is 2-3 when he leads his team to at least 42 points now. The rest of the NFL since 2018 is 69-2. The Browns have more losses in NFL history now, scoring at least 42 points.
So that's not on Baker, right?
Not all of it. It's just the Browns. How about the Ravens and the Chargers?
The Browns. Like how uncomfortable you were when you said that.
It is. It's just I played for the Lions, so I know.
You
sometimes
do know.
It's just, yeah. It's just the organization, man. It just takes a while to get yourself out of that quicksand. Ravens hosting the Chargers. We both picked the Chargers in this game,
I believe.
And, you know, I'll give you a stat about Lamar Jackson because he's the key, but he is the key. Everybody knows that. You had hit the largest comeback win for him in his career, the 25-9 comeback. They were down 25-9, I should say, to the Colts. Remember, they erased an 11-point deficit twice to come back and win versus Kansas City. And I do wonder if they're just emotionally spent. But the truth is, man, Lamar Jackson is playing better now than he played as an MVP or when he won the MVP.
Yeah.
He really is.
He's more lethal if he goes 37-43. For four Bills?
Yeah, set the record for a highest completion percentage for any quarterback in NFL history with at least 400 yards passing and or at least 40 passing attempts. So how about this? Great stat. He in straight dropbacks. I'm talking about this is not him. No play action pass, no RPO, none of that, right? So take out all the cheat codes. This is straight dropping back old school. In that game versus the Colts, he was 29 of 33 for 343 yards and four touchdowns. Straight dropbacks. He had to. They were down.
Right.
Down double digits. What are you going to do? You going to fake like you're going to hand it off? Go ahead.
That's a good point because it makes him more one-dimensional that way. He can still run on you.
He's the type of guy who can
park 170, and he did. But defensively, you're not as concerned about that when you're up by whatever they were.
25-9
that's what it was?
Yeah. I think the Chargers, though, I'm taking the Chargers, but I love what Lamar Jackson is doing right now. He is actually taking his game to another level. It was hard to think that after winning MVP, but he's a better player now than he was when he won MVP, no question.
He's gotten better and better. He's gotten more comfortable with that system. He knows that system really well. All right, Dallas Pats, man, you've been the Black Stradamus the last couple weeks.
I just think the Cowboys, man, they're the last undefeated
Timmy needs some presents. It's going to be too late to get it for him, but Timmy needs some presents.
Last undefeated team against the spread in the NFL right now. They're 5-0, and they actually, their margin of cover, they've covered all of their games by at least 10 points. Their average margin of cover is 10 points. Against this Pats team, I know what they want to do. They want to slow the game down and control the game. Mac Jones, you said it, he didn't throw the ball downfield. So I think this Cowboys defense can tee off on Mac Jones
a
little bit. I mean, Odigizua and Parsons have been amazing. Both of those guys have 19 pressures. They're tied for the lead among rookie defenders. Randy Gregory against the Giants had 9 pressures on his own. They just got a lot of playmakers on that front defensively to limit the Patriots' offense, which is rudimentary, by the way. And then the Cowboys, they're so malleable, man. They're so adaptable offensively. I just think, you know, at one point, I think Belichick will have a good plan, but I think the dam is going to break. And then when a dam breaks against the Cowboys, they could score 28 points easy.
They really could.
Like a quarter.
They are second in the NFL, or Dak is, in quarterback rating. Is it 116.9? He's second in completion percentage, third in touchdowns, ninth in yards per attempt. He's third or first in third down rating. He's got a 130.1 third down rating.
Worth the money.
Man, he has been worth the money. He's getting rid of the football on average in 2.52 seconds. It's the sixth quickest release time in the league, which does mean a lot. The offense is third best in the NFL schedule, adjusted expected points added. This offense is rolling. I'm with you. I'm taking the ghost out of my head. I know there's something funky about it, and if they lose or don't cover on Monday, we're going to go, we knew Vegas knew something. I don't see what they're seeing. I think Dallas covers this.
Best O-line in the league right now.
Yep.
Rated by Pro Football Focus. Diggs is the best defensive player in the league right now by some people. And some people, Pat Parsons probably in that conversation
right.
too.
Diggs is the most dangerous. At some point, Rod, and we're not really there. We kind of are there right now. I mean, that's one of the similarities going back in the day where you can, if you've got one guy and you know where the defender's going to be, you can actually just decoy him out of the game.
That's true.
Don't you stay away from Diggs
yeah.
at this point? I mean, are we getting to that point where it's like...
Unless it's just obvious. Unless he's playing off coverage and I got a quick read.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. I wouldn't test him on some
because the post last week...
He baited him.
He baited that. Because he looked like he got beat. He wasn't beat.
Yeah, I'm with you. He looked like... And I'll say this. What do I always say about DBs? I know we're up against it. I always say DBs these days, you're going to get beat.
You are.
It ain't about getting beat. It's about making plays. Here's that for you. Trevon Diggs leads the NFL in interceptions, right? He also leads in cornerback penalties. He also is allowed the fourth most yards. You're going to get beat.
Yep.
Don't play scared. You're going to get beat. Go make plays, son. That's what I tell Texas corners. You're going to get beat. Everybody get beat. Michael Huff been beat. Nathan Vasher been beat. Aaron Ross been beat. They done won Thorpes. Michael Griffin been beat. They make more plays, though.
Yeah.
That's how you win Thorpes.
Yeah.
That's why you make a Pro Bowls. Go make plays, son.
You're dead right about that. Yeah. In fairness to all the guys you mentioned, yourself included, you didn't get beat like these guys have for 3 years. All right, we'll get back to more Texas. I'm just keeping it real. Let's get back to more Texas, Oklahoma State talk. We will mix in a little bit baseball up next because guess what? American League Championship Series tonight, Rod. Yeah, you better get a good one there. And there is someone missing from the Astros roster. This is huge. We'll get into that up next. Why don't you mind your own business? Mind your own business. Because if you mind your business, then you won't be minded mine. Country Music Friday here on RBKD. I like this.
This is Dolly Parton.
That's got to be Dolly, right?
That's actually Reba.
Reba!
Oh.
Hank Williams Jr., Reba, Willie Nelson later in the track.
What is this called?
What is that?
Mind your own business.
Wow.
All star-studded cast there.
They only said it five times, Kevin. Probably should have jumped on that. I like this, though. I'm not sure if I've ever heard this. I'm embarrassed to say that because with the names you just gave.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a deeper track, but it's worth a listen. It's simple but fun.
You haven't immersed yourself in the country music world.
I have a little bit.
Not immersed, though. I mean, go on a binge for months, and that's all you jam is country music, new country music. You're like, I'm in it, right?
Yeah. Well, once you said new country, you definitely
know. What I'm saying, like, I'm talking new to you.
Yeah.
I'm new to you.
Yeah.
It's like a new car.
Not really.
Like, I don't buy new cars. But
I'll tell you what, I've been listening to Jerry Jeff Walker the last couple months more than any other artist.
That's what I'm saying. Like, sometimes that'll lead you to another artist.
It has.
Like, no, you know what?
It's led me some Hank.
There you go.
And then you
kind of keep going down the rabbit hole.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you go rabbit holing. You haven't went rabbit holing yet. See, go down that rabbit hole. You'll find some of that.
I haven't dug deep enough, though.
That's true.
Because the rabbit was just right there.
Were you looking for the rabbit?
Barely went elbow
in the rabbit
deep.
Hole? You're supposed to look for the rabbit in the rabbit hole.
Well, what am I doing in the rabbit hole, then?
You're just digging deeper, getting down there, man.
I know, but I'm looking for a rabbit. The thing is, usually you don't find the rabbit or you find something else, and that's when you start burrowing. That's when you start digging.
I thought the point of the rabbit hole was that you didn't know what you were looking for. You're just going deeper down the rabbit hole.
No, that is more it.
Okay. I thought you were looking for, like Wonderland or whatever. That's what deeper in the rabbit hole goes.
Yeah, that's like the initial thing. Until like, and you're actually rabbit holing.
I thought it was like not Wizard of Oz, Alice in Wonderland reference.
Yeah.
And then you're just lost.
And then you just end up being, not well.
You're just lost with a bunch of dirt.
Yeah, it's fun though. We enjoy that.
We just exhausted this analogy. It's not even funny anymore.
Never really got kicking. Hey, Lance McCullers, man, this is huge. So the Astros taking on the Red Sox tonight, 7:07. That'll be on Fox. So check that out. Winner goes to the World Series. Fifth straight ALCS for the Houston Astros. This is big. But we mentioned it briefly that Lance McCullers was getting an MRI.
Not good.
And I don't know, there was a lot of vague statements on Twitter from people that had talked to the Astros, and they said, well, he may be good, he may not be good. He's obviously not good because you have to set your roster for the whole series, right?
Yep.
So Max Muncy, Brandon Belt, they were off the roster for the National League Division Series. So we didn't see them last night in that fantastic game. You're not going to see Lance McCullers in this. If you see Lance McCullers this year, it's going to be in the World Series. Hopefully he can get back. Rod, this is huge. Look, I mean, your starting pitching, you guys have found ways, and it's been really impressive. It's kind of indicative of what the Astros have done with their talent evaluation, analytics, making guys throw what they really are good at and almost extensively throw that or lean on that. Losing McCullers is big, man.
It's big, man. I know.
Really big.
There's no way to get around it. I mean, it's huge. I mean, you're losing your ace.
Yeah.
Fromber, you know, I think Valdez can step up. He basically, I believe, takes his spot in the rotation. And he's been solid, right? 3.14 ERA. He's legit. But the deeper now you get into that rotation and then deeper into the bullpen now, what was obviously one of the weaknesses of the team, they don't have a lot of them. I think that's probably the most glaring weakness was the bullpen.
Yep.
Now it's going to be even more vulnerable.
So, no doubt.
Yeah, that's, as an Astros fan, I'm nervous. Makes me a little nervous. That's it.
What you do have, and I love the Dodgers, and the Dodgers, I said all year, I think are probably the best team, and they finally proved that against the Giants last night, and get into that a little bit in one and done.
Man.
That was a hell of a game, man.
That was a great game.
Awful way to end it, but that was a hell of a game.
Okay, you know what? I'll ask you later. Yeah, I had a question.
We'll get into it in one and done a little bit, because I'm going to get into to sports theory in general and also baseball theory, some of the stuff Dave Roberts did, but speaking of that theory, the Astros do things differently. Their lineup's the best in baseball right now. If there's one lineup that I had to face or didn't want to face, it would be that one.
It needs to, but now they need it to be even better.
They do.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the reality. By the way, Bob Nightingale did say that that Lance McCullers should be back if they make it to the World Series.
Okay, that's good.
It's
just anytime you hear, I heard forearm tightness, and with the history he's already had, he already had TJ because
I was going to say could,
guy
not
throws
shit.
So many curveballs and great curveballs.
Yeah. No, I think, and honestly, I don't think they'll bring him back if it's serious. But I don't know. They might want to go all in. It's the World Series, so they may decide it's worth potentially re-injuring someone or our ace.
It's also up to Lance, too.
And he's going to do it.
But no, Lance is tough guy. He's going to pitch.
From the personality he has,
he's going
to
pitch.
Yeah, honestly, it'd be hard trying to keep him from pitching if he could. So I figure the Astros still – I still got him winning in six, but maybe now it's maybe it goes down to the wire now.
I think it goes six
without
or
Lance
seven.
I got it in six, but it could go to seven.
I'm taking the Astros.
Good.
Because here's the thing is their bullpen is their biggest question mark, and I do think they have the best lineup right now in baseball. The good thing about their starting pitching is they've had some depth there with the starting pitching. In fact, much that we've talked about maybe those guys getting moved to the back end when it got to nut cutting time.
Yep. And it hasn't been the guys you expected.
No.
Obviously, Verlander's been hurt, but Greinke hadn't really been stellar. It's been some of the guys that they brought up and through the system, and some of the guys that they were in their form system and they brought up, and they've really been homegrown products for the Astros, which is something good, or should be optimistic about the future.
Yeah, I'd be really optimistic about the future. And I said that to Astros fans whenever all this stuff went down, that, you got some stars still here, but I wouldn't get, when Garrett Cole left, it's like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
You guys have been fantastic at reloading and really evaluating people and developing them. I mean, it's right there with Tampa Bay. Give the Giants a ton of credit kind of with what they're doing. But, you got Framber Valdez, Luis Garcia is someone we're going to see. Trying to think of who else. Obviously, Greinke, and then it's about that bullpen for me too.
It is.
What happens with Presley and Javier and all those guys, and how do they use them? But I'm going to stick with Houston in this. Boston has surprised a lot of us all year. I don't think any of us had Boston in this spot. I didn't have Boston making the playoffs. So
wow, then that's scary. Because they may just be the hot team, and I hate
they are.
It seems like the Astros are the better team.
And they got nothing to lose. The Astros are a better team.
I know, but the better team versus the hot team, oftentimes in the playoffs, the hot team
doesn't fly.
Hot team wins. Yeah, but the Astros are pretty hot too. So they got momentum going.
McCullers had a 0.84 ERA, 9 strikeouts. He had been fantastic in his limited time in the postseason this year. There's some Red Sox Astros. Get back into a little bit of baseball coming up at 4:30 with One and Done. We're 1 hour in. Don't forget we have a short show today. We're out at 6:30 for the Flex, Friday Flex. Wow, 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 wow. Horn app to get all those games. We will continue to talk about more games. Snoop will have you covered with high school. We're going to have you covered with the pros, also college. We'll do those college picks, beat the pluck, coming up at 5 o'clock. Up next, back to Okie State, Texas. What do we expect to see tomorrow here in Austin?